Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Rama Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Vishnupad Paramhansa Pariprajaka Kacharya Astotara Sutta Sri Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jayam Vishnupad Paramhansa Pariprajaka Kacharya Astotara Sutta Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Kaho Si Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaur Bhaktavinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopina Shamakund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadweep Dham Ki Jai, Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Samveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada. We welcome you on the most auspicious occasion of Sri Radhastami, the appearance day of Srimati Radharani, the eternal consort and pleasure potency, Ladini Shakti, of Lord Sri Krishna. You shall read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3. Pure Devotional Service, text 23. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Please repeat. Jivan.
Jivan.
Shava.
Shava.
Bhagavatangri Renum. Na jatu martya abhilabheta ya tu shri vishnupadya manujas tulasya Svasan, Chavo, yes, tu, na,
Veda,
Gandam, Jivan Chavo Bhagavatangri Renum.
Jivan Chavo
Najatu martyo bilabeta yastu.
Najatu martyo bilabeta yastu.
Shri Vishnupadya manujastu lasya.
Shri Vishnupadya manujastu lasya.
Svasan chavoyas tunaveda gandham.
Svasan chavoyas tunaveda gandham.
Jivan chavo bhagavatangri renum.
Jivan chavo bhagavatangri renum.
Najatu martyo bilabeta yastu. Shri Vishnupadya manujastu lasya.
Shri Vishnupadya manujastu lasya.
Svasan chavo yastu na veda gandham.
Svasan chavo yastu na veda gandham.
Jivan chavo bhagavatam virenum. Najatu martyo vilabheta yastu.
Vishnupadya manujastu lasya.
Svasan chavo yastu na veda gandham. Jivan chavo bhagavatam virenam. Najatu martyo bilabheta yastu. Vishnupadya manujastu lasya. Svasan chavo yastu na veda gandham. Jivan chavo bhagavatam virenum. Najatu martyo bilabheta yastu. Shri Vishnupadya manujastu lasya.
Svasan
Asan Savoya Tuna Veda Ganda Vaishnavis. Jivan Savo Bhagavatam Virenu Najatu Martyo Vilaveta Yastu Vishnu Padya Manujastu Asya Sasanta Vayasuna Veda Gandham Jivan Savo Bhagavatam Virenu Najatu Martyo Vilaveta Yastu Vishnu Padya Manujastu Asya Pasan Savoyastu Naveda Gandham Jivan Savo Bhagavatam Girenu Najatu Martyo Vilaveta Yastu Vishnu Padya Manujastu Lasya Sasam Savoyastu Naveda Gandham Jivan. While living, Shava, a dead body, Bhagavat Angri Renum, the dust of the feet of a pure devotee, never, Jatu. At any time, Martya, mortal, Abhilabheta, particularly received, Ya, a person, to, but, Shri, with opulence. Vishnupadya of the lotus feet of Vishnu. Manuja, a descendant of Manu. A man. Tulasya, leaves of the tulsi tree. Svasan, while breathing. Shava, still a dead body. Ya, who? To, but. Naveda, never experienced. Gandham, the aroma. Translation. The person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced the aroma of the tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. Please repeat. A person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced the aroma of the tulsi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead body, although breathing. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the breathing dead body is a ghost. When a man dies, he is called dead. But when he again appears in a subtle form, not visible to our present vision, and yet acts, such a dead body is called a ghost. Ghosts are always very bad elements, always creating a fearful situation for others. Similarly, the ghost-like non-devotees who have no respect for the pure devotees nor for the Vishnu deity in the temples create a fearful situation for the devotees at all times. The Lord never accepts any offering by such impure ghosts. So there are many points in the purport, but I'll stop here to discuss ghosts and how they are relevant to us. So, as we know from the Bhagavad Gita, the living entity, the spiritual soul, the Atma, or Jiva-Atma, is distinct from the material body. And the living entity is covered by, in one sense, two material bodies, the gross body, which is made of earth, water, fire, air, and ether, and the subtle body, which is made of mind, intelligence, and false ego. When the living entity leaves the body, he accepts another body according to his karma, his desires, and his thoughts at the time of death. So how does someone get the body of a ghost? One common way is if a person commits suicide. Because Krishna always fulfills the desires of the living entities, and he does not interfere with their desires. So if someone commits suicide, in effect, he is saying that he doesn't want a gross body. But why would a person commit suicide? If someone has strong material desires and those desires are not fulfilled, he will become, or she will become, so frustrated, so disappointed, so morose, that he or she may think better just die, better just give up this body. So the person commits suicide, gives up the body, but the soul doesn't die. The soul continues to exist. And the person will keep his or her subtle body. Any soul when it leaves the gross body and transmigrates into another body, keeps the same subtle body. It only changes the gross body. So the suicide will keep the subtle body. No gross body, but the subtle body. But the person has gross material desires. I mean, that's why the person was so frustrated that he or she wanted to commit suicide. So being in a ghost body is very, even more frustrating, because the gross desires are there, but there are no gross senses through which to fulfill the desires. There was a movie some decades ago called Ghost. And some devotees were saying that they thought the author had read Srimad Bhagavatam. And so some devotees were seeing it. I'm not recommending that you do. I didn't go to see it. But I must admit that that film played as a movie on a flight I took. So I did get to see it. And there's one scene. It's just to illustrate this point of how frustrated ghosts are. There's one scene where the ghost wants a cigarette. And the ghost is like on a train platform, and there's a vending machine selling cigarettes. And he's like banging on the vending machine because he wants a cigarette. He can't have a cigarette because he has a ghost body. So he doesn't have a gross body. So ghosts try to occupy or possess the body of a regular person, and to enjoy, to satisfy his desires through the senses of that person. And ghosts therefore create a very fearful situation, because they're trying to possess your body so they can enjoy through your senses. So these ghosts, oh yes, well, before we move on philosophically, just a little bit more about ghosts. Ghosts can be, well, all problems can be solved by chanting the holy name, and the problem of ghosts also. And sometimes devotees have taken advantage of this fact because there are haunted houses. So people don't want to buy a haunted house generally. So there can be like big mansions, castles that are haunted. There's like a stereotype of castles that are haunted by its former occupants. That's another way one can become a ghost. If one is attached to a thing and thinks of that thing at the time of death, he or she cannot take birth as that thing, like a castle. It's not one of the 8,400,000 species of life. But they can take birth as a ghost in that castle that they were so attached to. So, yeah, sometimes big properties have been on sale for a very modest price because they were haunted, and devotees have bought them for Krishna's service. And then they do kirtan, they chant the holy name, and the ghosts go away. So this is the literal understanding of ghosts. But ghosts also have a figurative, you could say, a figurative place in our philosophy. There's a very nice verse by Srila Rupa Goswami. Bhukti mukti spriha yavat pisachi hridi vartate tavad bhakti sukhas yatra katam abhyudayo bhavet. That's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-22. So what does Rupa Goswami say? The material desire to enjoy the material world and the desire to become liberated from material bondage, that's bhukti and mukti. Bhukti means material enjoyment. Mukti means impersonal liberation, generally. Are considered to be two witches, and they haunt one like ghosts. So, as we discuss, ghosts, they're foreign elements, and they try to take possession of us. And due to the influence of ghosts, we may think things or feel things that are not really us. Once Bhavananda Prabhu asked Srila Prabhupada about that, because he, like, sometimes these thoughts would go pass through his mind that were not him. And Srila Prabhupada said, yeah, it can happen that ghosts, you know, can influence your mind. So Rupa Goswami is saying that the desires for bhukti and mukti are like witches which haunt one like ghosts. As long as these witches remain in the heart, how can one feel transcendental bliss? As long as these two witches remain in the heart, there is no possibility of enjoying the transcendental bliss of devotional service. So pisachi in this verse means ghost or witch. And so these desires haunt us like ghosts because they are not really us. They are foreign to our true desires as spiritual beings. By nature, we are eternal servants of Krishna. Jive Swarupai, Krishnara Nitya Das. So any desire we have other than the desire to serve Krishna, such as the desires for material enjoyment or impersonal liberation, are foreign to us, and therefore they're just like the influence of ghosts. But we should not succumb to those influences, but we should, just like we would ward off an attack from a ghost by chanting the holy name, so we can also ward off these extraneous desires by taking shelter of Krishna in the form of the holy name, or the deities, or the scriptures, and so on. So now the next point in the purport. There is a common saying that one should first love the dog of the beloved before one shows any loving sentiments to the beloved. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that if you're walking down the street and you see someone that you want to meet but you don't know, if you stop and pet that person's dog, then the person will become favorably inclined to you, and then you can introduce yourself and get to meet the person. So, love me, love my dog. So what is, how does this relate to devotional service? So the dog is the devotee. The devotee is Krishna's dog, or the dog of his spiritual master. And in fact, in the early days of ISKCON, someone asked Srila Prabhupada about our neck beads. What is the significance of our neck beads? Srila Prabhupada said, it's like our dog collar. We are Krishna's dog, or through Prabhupada's dog. There is a common saying that one should first love the dog of the beloved before one shows any loving sentiments for the beloved. The stage of pure devotion is attained by sincerely serving a pure devotee of the Lord. You cannot approach the Lord directly. Approach him through his devotee. In fact, in Houston, on Srila Prabhupada's Vyas Puja Day, a devotee quoted another senior devotee who said that, you cannot approach God directly, but you can approach God through someone who's close to God, which in our context, as this devotee was explaining, it was Srila Prabhupada. But to approach someone who's close to God, we have to approach someone who's close to that person who's close to God. That's like parampara. So the stage of pure devotion is attained by sincerely serving a pure devotee of the Lord. The first condition of devotional service to the Lord is therefore to be a servant of a pure devotee. And that condition is fulfilled by the statement, reception of the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee who has also served another pure devotee. That is the way of pure disciplic succession, or devotional parampara. So what does it mean to receive the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee? Of course, it could be taken literally, but generally it's taken metaphorically. To receive his mercy, which really means to receive instructions from him or her and follow the instructions. That's how the connection with the parampara is established. One devotee asked Srila Prabhupada that, like, our whole philosophy is in Lord Chaitanya's 8 verses of the Shikshastika, but there's nothing about the spiritual master in the Shikshastika, and the spiritual master is so important in our process. And Srila Prabhupada said it's there in the verse, Trinadapi Sunichena, to be more humble than the straw in the street or a blade of grass. Because if you're humble, you will feel, not just feel, you will recognize the fact that you are ignorant and therefore need guidance. And that will lead to one's seeking the guidance of a spiritual master. So that humility is required. And without humility, one will not accept the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee who has humbly served another pure devotee. When Sri Prahlad was asked by Hiranyakashipu, what is the best thing you learned in school? As most of you know, Hiranyakashipu was a great demon, and Prahlad was his saintly son, only 5 years of age at the time. So when Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad, what's the best thing you've learned in school? Prahlad shocked him by replying, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, devotional service to Vishnu. And Hiranyakashipu, of course, all demons are opposed to Vishnu by definition, but he was especially inimical towards Vishnu because Vishnu, in the form of Varahadeva, had killed his twin brother, Hiranyaksha. And so he wanted to avenge Hiranyaksha's death. So Hiranyakashipu became very angry that Prahlad was speaking in favor of his enemy, Vishnu. So he called the boy's teachers, Brahmin teachers, and said, where this boy has got this, rascal idea to serve Vishnu. You have been teaching him wrongly. They said, no, we haven't. We haven't spoken anything in favor of Vishnu. Well, then you've been allowing Vaishnavas in disguise to enter the classrooms. But no, we haven't. Only the sons of the demons are there. They said, well, then how has he learned this nonsense? So they said, well, you better ask him. So Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad, where did you learn this devotional service? And he replied that matirna krishne parato svatova, that one's inclination towards Krishna or Krishna consciousness, matirna krishne parato svatova, it cannot be gotten from others, and it cannot be gotten by one's own efforts, and it cannot be gotten by the combined efforts of oneself and others. Now, this seems to exhaust all logical possibilities. So then Prahlad explained that Mahiya Shan Padarajobhishekam Naskinchana Nam Navranita Yavat, that one can attain Krishna consciousness only by being blessed, or he says Padarajobhishekam, Abhishek means by being bathed, you could say, by being bathed in the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee. And then he told his father that, but you don't need to worry about becoming Krishna conscious because you're so proud, you will never bow down to the feet of a pure devotee. So you don't have to worry about that happening to you. So that humility is required, and in that humble mood, if we surrender, ado guru padashraya, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami explains the 10 preliminary items, and the first, ado guru padashraya, to take shelter of the lotus feet of a spiritual master. Well, that is the way of pure disciplic succession or devotional parampara. Maharaj Rahugana inquired from the great saint Judd Bharat as to how he attained such a liberated stage of a paramahansa. And in answer, the great saint replied as follows. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.12.12. Rahuganaita tapasanayati na chejaya nirvapanad grihadva na chandasanai vajalang nisuryair vina mahatpadarajo bishekam. O King Rahugana, the perfectional stage of devotional service, or the Paramahansa stage of life, cannot be attained unless one is blessed by the dust of the feet of great devotees. Again, Pada Rajobhishekam. Mahat Pada Rajobhishekam. Being bathed in the dust from the feet of great devotees. It is never attained by tapasya, austerity, the Vedic worshiping process, accepting the renounced order of life, the discharge of the duties of household life, the chanting of the Vedic hymns, or the performance of penances in the hot sun, within cold water, or before the blazing fire. In other words, Srila Prabhupada says, in other words, Lord Sri Krishna is the property of his pure, unconditional devotees. And as such, only the devotees can deliver Krishna to another devotee. Krishna is never obtainable directly. Lord Chaitanya therefore designated himself as Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Dasa Das Amanudasa, or the most obedient servant of the servants of the Lord, who maintains the Gopi damsels at Vrindavan. So I mentioned Jive Swarupai Krishna and Nityadas, our eternal constitutional position is to be servant of Krishna. But being servant of Krishna doesn't mean being servant of Krishna directly, but through the servants of the servants of the servants of Krishna. A pure devotee therefore never approaches the Lord directly, but tries to please the servants of the Lord's servants, and thus the Lord becomes pleased. And only then can the devotee relish the taste of the tulsi leaves stuck on his lotus feet. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that the Lord is never to be found by becoming a great scholar of the Vedic literatures, but he is very easily approachable through his pure devotees. Vedeshu durlabha, Vedeshu through the study of the Vedas, durlabha, very difficult. Adurlabha, but easy, not difficult. Atma Bhakta, through Krishna's devotees. In Vrindavan, all the pure devotees pray for the mercy of Srimati Radharani, the pleasure potency of Lord Krishna. Srimati Radharani is a tender-hearted feminine counterpart of the Supreme Whole, resembling the perfectional stage of the worldly feminine nature. As Srila Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Devotion, because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is very difficult to approach him. But Srimati Radharani represents his compassionate nature, and therefore devotees can approach Srimati Radharani and by her mercy approach Krishna. Srimati Radharani is a tender-hearted feminine counterpart of the Supreme Whole, resembling the perfectional stage of the worldly feminine nature. Therefore, the mercy of Radharani is available very readily to the sincere devotees. And once she recommends such a devotee to Lord Krishna, the Lord at once accepts the devotee's admittance into his association. So Srila Prabhupada says that Srimati Radharani is a Mahabhagavata. Of course, she's far more than any ordinary Mahabhagavata. But the nature of a Mahabhagavata, or the most advanced devotee, is that he or she sees that everyone else is serving Krishna except him or herself. So Srimati Radharani, when she sees any devotee, she recommends the devotee to Krishna, saying that, oh, this is such a nice devotee. I'm not such a nice devotee. I can't do such good service. But here is a nice devotee. You should accept him or her. And when Srimati Radharani recommends someone to Krishna, Krishna will accept that person. There, of course, it's a little different, but it comes to the same thing, that in Varshana, which is Radharani's place where she grew up, they have a saying that whatever Radha does, Krishna likes. And whatever Radha likes, Krishna does. So if Srimati Radharani likes that Krishna accepts someone, Krishna will accept the person. There's also a very, of course, the thrust of this is that by the mercy of Radharani we approach Krishna, but in a higher sense, you could say, in an esoteric sense, for us Gaudiya Vaishnavas, followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers, we want the mercy of Krishna to approach Radharani. I mean, most people want the mercy of Radharani to approach Krishna, but in a way we want the mercy of Krishna to approach Radharani. And Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, said that one who worships Vishnu is called a Vaishnavite. One who worships Krishna is called a Krishnite. And one who worships Srimati Radharani is called a Gaudiya. The purport is, we are followers of Lord Chaitanya, are Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and therefore he's saying that the real purport of being a Gaudiya Vaishnava is to worship Srimati Radharani. But in any case, we worship Radha and Krishna together, Sri Sri Radha Kalachandri, Sri Sri Radha Govinda, Sri Sri Radha Nila Madhava. And that is the complete conception of God. That is the complete perfection of God realization, Radha and Krishna. Sometimes people challenge, you know, why do you consider that God is a man? Which he is in a way, of course, not a material man. But actually, he's both male and female. Radha and Krishna. That's really the perfect conception of the Supreme. So, therefore, the mercy of Radharani is available very easily to the sincere devotees. And once she recommends such a devotee to Lord Krishna, the Lord at once accepts the devotee's admittance into his association. The conclusion is, therefore, that one should be more serious about seeking the mercy of the devotee than that of the Lord directly. And by one's doing so, by the goodwill of the devotee, the natural attraction for the service of the Lord will be revived. Hare Krishna. So, are there any questions or comments? Yes. The microphone is coming.
Thank you, sir. Maharaj, in the beginning we are discussing about the ghosts. And you told about that as far as we have material desires and it is not fulfilled, so then we try to give up our body and our own will, saying, in a way, I don't need this body, then we remain with our subtle body and then become ghost without any and then start troubling others. So I was thinking that time yesterday I was reading about one of the, about Radharani's pastimes, and then one thing came about is Gaurang Mahaprabhu's, that, he sometimes was so merged into thinking of Krishna that he will, run to Ganges and then try to give up his body, thinking that, I should always be thinking about Krishna 24/7, but if it is not fulfilled, then I will give up my life. So how should we differentiate this?
Well, that's the feeling of separation. That's different. That's on the transcendental platform. And yes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to condemn himself. That why am I still living? If I had any love for Krishna, I would have given up this body long ago. But the fact that I'm still alive proves that I have no love for Krishna. So that's a feeling of separation. But suicide is not approved. It's a somewhat elaborate story, but just briefly, Srila Sanatan Goswami went to Jagannath Puri to associate with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and on the way he developed like itching sores that were oozing some foul liquid. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu insisted on embracing him, which was very mortifying for Sanatana Goswami. It was like, It was like really bad. I mean, like if we went on the altar and then something bad came out of us, it would just feel horrible. I mean, to contaminate the Lord with our foul liquid or whatever. So he thought, you know, I came to Jagannath Puri to find happiness in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association, and I'm getting just the opposite. So he determined that he would give up his body under the wheels of Jagannath's chariot. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the omniscient Lord, understood Sanatana Goswami's intention. And he said, if someone gives you something to keep, is it proper to destroy that? Of course it's not. So Lord Chaitanya said, you have given your body to me. You have surrendered your body to me. So how can you think of destroying it? It's my property. You have no right to destroy it. And then he said that measures like suicide are causes of sin. He said, if I could attain Krishna by giving up this body, I would give up hundreds and millions of bodies. But one cannot attain Krishna by that method. And then he quoted Rukmini Devi in her letter to Krishna when she wanted Krishna to rescue her or kidnap her when she was supposed to be married to Shishupal. And so Rukmini wrote that, you know, I'm begging you to accept me, but if you don't accept me, then I will perform austerities and I will give up this body lifetime after lifetime until I can achieve you. So that mood, that's not suicide, that's something different. So Lord Chaitanya said, if I could attain Krishna by committing suicide, I would give up hundreds and millions of bodies. But that is not how you can attain Krishna. You can attain Krishna only by devotional service. So you stay with me here in Puri, you engage in devotional service, and eventually you'll be successful. Hare Krishna. Yes?
How can we best serve Srimati Radharani?
I mean, this might sound a little odd, but the best way to serve Srimati Radharani, based on something that Srila Prabhupada said, is to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Srila Prabhupada said that the way to develop the love for Krishna of the gopis is to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. But when I heard that statement, I thought, how does that work? What is the connection? And then I concluded that this special quality of the gopis is that they were ready to sacrifice anything and everything for Krishna's pleasure. And in the material world, nothing pleases Krishna. Well, even in the spiritual world, you can say, but in the material world, nothing pleases Krishna more than bringing other people to Krishna. So in that sense, we're following in the line of Srimati Radharani. She also is always arranging for devotees to be with Krishna. And because pleases Krishna. And so I would say that's the best way. But to give Krishna consciousness to others, you have to have Krishna consciousness. So you have to be a good devotee. You have to, you know, chant your rounds, follow the regular principles, basically engage in the process of bhakti yoga, and then you'll have spiritual strength to bring others to Krishna consciousness, and that will please Srimati Radharani. Hare Krishna. Yes, I'm Isharanya Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. So, Maharaj, how do we please devotees?
Well, of course, if we becoming Krishna consciousness will please devotees. But there are different devotees can be pleased in different ways. So if you want to please a particular devotee, you could always ask that devotee, how can I please you? Once a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, how can I please you? And Srila Prabhupada replied, you know, simply by your desire to please me, you're pleasing me. So that desire itself is pleasing. But beyond that, the devotee may want you to do something specific. So you can ask. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Oh, Chaitanya Chandra Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the beautiful class. In the beginning, when it was describing how because of the ghostly situation, it causes a fearful situation. So I was thinking, isn't our present like society, even because of its totally materialistic and becoming more and more atheistic, and Darwinism, isn't that also kind of like considered to be, can we consider it to also be kind of like a ghostly influence, all this heavy atheism and stuff?
Yes, very much so. They're like ghosts, because they don't know who they are. They create, as Prabhupada says, they create a fearful situation for devotees. So, yeah, I guess we need more Harinam. Yeah. Drive away the ghosts. Not drive them away, but drive away their non-devotional mentalities. All right, thank you very much. So it's almost 9:30. If I recall correctly, we're planting the tamal trees now. Yeah, so, of course, our revered spiritual leader, Tamal Krishna Goswami, he got that name, Tamal Krishna, because Krishna is blackish or darkish, like a tamal tree. And in fact, sometimes Srimati Radharani, in her ecstatic mood of separation from Krishna, would embrace a tamal tree. And once, of course, these are very high devotional sentiments, I mean the highest. But when she spoke to her friend Vishakha, about that mood of separation, not mundane, about giving up her body in separation from Krishna. And she said, you know, but I ask you for one favor, that I have my arms embracing a tamal tree. So tamal trees are very special in Vrindavan as representatives of Krishna. And, of course, Tamal Krishna Goswami is also, by his very name, connected to the tamal tree. So now we will go outside and plant two tamal trees, one on either side of his samadhi. In Vrindavan, they consider the tamal tree to be a representation of Krishna, and the kadamba tree as a representation of Srimati Radharani. So they like to keep both, but we're specifically thinking of Tamal Krishna Goswami, so we're going to be planting these tamal trees. Thank you very much, and after that, we'll meet again in the temple. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srimati Radharani ki jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Hare Krishna.
Jai Srila Giriraj Swami Maharaj ki jai.